Shabbat Shalom. Before I begin, I invite you to return here to Stephen Wise Free Synagogue next Shabbat, when Rabbi Amiel Hirsch will speak from this pulpit and present in detail his perspective on the current crisis in Israel and the roles and responsibilities that American Jews carry in responding to it. Now, look at a Jewish calendar, and you will find that this Shabbat has a special designation. It is Shabbat Para, the Sabbath of the cow. From a marketing perspective, the Sabbath's name isn't a winner. It competes with more compelling Sabbaths, Shabbat HaGadol, the great Sabbath that precedes Passover, Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of repentance that precedes Yom Kippur. But here we are on Shabbat Para, getting to explore the meaning of the cow, in this case, the red heifer. This Shabbat takes its name from the additional Torah reading that we add this week from the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Zot chukat haTorah asher tziva Adonai lemor. Daber el bnei Yisrael, vikhu elecha para aduma tmima, asher ein ba mum, asher lo ala aleha ol. This is the ritual law that God has commanded. Instruct the Israelite people to bring you a red cow without blemish, in which there is no defect and on which no yoke has been laid. This text then goes on to explain that the ashes of the red heifer are mixed with water and ceremoniously placed on the person who has come in contact with the dead. Through this ritual, the impurities of the dead are lifted from the living. These individuals are now spiritually purified and ready to partake in all expressions of Jewish life. This text is clearly of its own time. According to tradition, only 9 red heifers ever existed during the time of the temples in Jerusalem. That said, in September, a shipment of 5 red cows was sent from Texas to Israel for this purpose, despite the fact that no one has engaged in this ritual for close to 2,000 years. While the ritual may no longer be practiced, nor should it, I still believe the text from the book of Numbers remains relevant for us today. I love the structure of the Jewish calendar. You can tell when a holiday is important based on the buildup to it. On the second night of Passover, we begin to count the Omer. Each night we count the number of days and the number of weeks that have passed in the lead up to Shavuot. Once we have counted 7 complete weeks, we have arrived at the moment of God's revelation on Mount Sinai. It takes 7 full weeks to prepare for that moment. On the first day of the month of Elul, we begin to blow the shofar, and we continue to do so on each weekday for 1 month until the day prior to Rosh Hashanah. Hearing the shofar's call each day reminds us to repent before the new year. So too, Passover. It has its own unique lead-up. On 4 Sabbaths in the months prior to Passover, we read a special additional Torah text to remind us that our preparations need to begin. We cannot be surprised by Passover's arrival. We know that from our own experience. Preparing a Seder, or even registering to attend a Seder, takes forethought and planning. How does this Torah text about the red heifer demonstrate an act of preparation? Because the person who came in contact with the dead was excluded from bringing the required Paschal lamb sacrifice. This text serves as a reminder to enact the ritual so that the celebrant can once again be considered pure, enabling them to join their family in eating from the Paschal lamb. We learn then that the ritual of the red heifer provides us with a model of inclusivity. We wish to celebrate Passover with as many members of our extended community as we can. We want no one left outside of our circle. We even say at the Seder, Kol dichvin yeteve yechol, everyone who is hungry, come and eat. On this Shabbat, less than a month before the first Seder, we are presented with a clear reminder to invite others in, to be inclusive, and to be welcoming. The Chizkuni, Rabbi Hezekiah ben Manoach, a 13th century scholar from France, describes the red heifer ritual differently. He saw it as a preventative act against Israelites becoming a death culture, a culture in which the dead take priority over the living. That's one that keeps the dead in their company. They build pyramids for their dead, sacrificing the future of the living, literally and metaphorically, to honor their dead. Israelite practice, by quarantining those who are in contact with the dead and only welcoming them back to the entirety of the community after undergoing a ritual, makes a clear statement that while Judaism honors our dead, we prioritize the living. The Jewish people are future-focused. We are not stuck in ancestor worship. We are too busy raising the next generation, investing in them, and setting our sights on what they will accomplish to build necropolises to the dead. The third interpretation of the ritual of the red heifer that I wish to present is an ancient one from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived during the Babylonian exile, following the destruction of the first temple. The Haftorah for this special Shabbat is taken from the book of Ezekiel. In this selection, Ezekiel blames the Israelites for their suffering in exile, which came as a punishment from God because of the Israelites' spiritual impurity. After rebuking his people, the prophet comforts them by envisioning a time when God will take them back to Jerusalem and cleanse them with a ritual similar to our red heifer ritual. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanness and from all your fetishes. However, Ezekiel goes further and explains that the Israelites will not only become ritually pure from this act of cleansing. He adds, V'natati lachem lev chadash, v'ruach chadasha eten bekerbechem, v'asiroti et lev ha'evin mibsarchem, v'natati lachem lev basar. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit into you. I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. In this vision, God takes back the Israelites and forgives their transgression by enabling their rebirth. They have been renewed, reborn, and are now ready to follow God's mitzvot, God's commandments. This rereading of the red heifer ritual prior to Passover informs us that this holiday is not simply to be observed by us, but it is to empower our renewal. Historically, the Jewish year began with the spring. The egg on our Seder plate symbolizes rebirth. The Israelites were born as a nation when they escaped slavery. This is the holiday when we can shed that which we no longer wish to carry around and become the people we aspire to be. These are three distinct and complementary readings of an ancient and distant tradition. The red heifer ritual teaches us to prepare for Passover by being inclusive, future-focused, and by seeking our renewal. When I think of Passover, I cannot separate the holiday from the people of Israel or the land and state of Israel. Maybe they overlap in my mind because last year I led a Passover Seder in Jerusalem. Maybe it's because my refrigerator and pantry fill with Israeli puddings, yogurt, snacks, and everything my children like to eat on Passover. It could be that the Seder tablecloth we have used since before I was born depicts images of the Israelite slavery through to their freedom and ends with the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. Maybe it's because Passover is one of three pilgrimage festivals when Jews trek to the temple in Jerusalem. Or it's the concluding words of the Seder when we say, next year in Jerusalem. As we begin our preparations for Passover, I pray that in Israel, they are preparing as well and using the lessons of Parashat Parah, the red heifer, to guide them. As the ritual of the red heifer enables us to welcome all to our Passover Seder, so too do the words of Israel's Declaration of Independence confer equal rights for all of its citizens. I quote, Israel will be based on the precepts of liberty, justice, and peace taught by the Hebrew prophets, will uphold the full social and political equality of all its citizens without distinction of race, creed, or sex, will guarantee full freedom of conscience, worship, education, and culture. There are 75 years of precedent during which these rights were honored. No leader in Israel today has the authority to chip away at any of these guaranteed human rights. May the value of inclusivity that we learn from this portion guide Israel's leaders as they perform their duties. The second lesson we learned from the red heifer was that Judaism has been and will always be a future-focused religion, not a death culture. We are a future-focused people when acts of war or violence are only engaged in to protect lives. Cultures that honor martyrdom and terrorism are anathema to Jewish values. So too are acts of violence and revenge performed by Jews against civilians, like those we watch play out in the West Bank town of Huara. These price tag attacks, as they are called, represent a descent into becoming a death culture. Israel's leaders must heed Chizkuni's call not to become like the Egyptians who built pyramids to their dead. Rather, they should always be investing in and modeling for the next generation so that their future is secured. Finally, we learn from the prophet Ezekiel that with the holiday of Passover, we may experience a transformative renewal and rebirth. The Canadian-Israeli journalist Matzi Friedman wondered about the opportunity for renewal in an article he wrote following his participation in one of the protest rallies taking place in Israel. He noted how Israel has always had a knack for innovation. That's how it became known as the startup nation. He wondered if just maybe the protests are a reminder of the unique Israeli energies that become apparent here in moments of crisis. I pray that by the time we sit at our Passover tables, Matzi Friedman will have been proven right, and Israeli ingenuity will manage to bring about a transformation that at this moment seems both unimaginable and unattainable. But isn't that the history of the modern state of Israel? That the impossible just takes a little longer to achieve.